interesting scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. It says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble purposes. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. What we've been talking about is this: you're no longer the one that is pursued. Some of us spent last year feeling like you were the one pursued, like your enemy was nipping at your heels, like you were just one step ahead every day. And this year, we are going to be the ones in pursuit. We are not any longer just going to be waiting, but to pursue, in pursuit of the kingdom of God and the things of God.
He's going to restore unto us, as he promises, and in pursuit of the enemies of God. Amen?
Here again, the definition of pursue: to follow close upon, to go with, to attend, to strive to gain, seek to attain or accomplish, to proceed in accordance with, to carry on or continue, to continue to annoy, afflict, or trouble. To practice, to continue to discuss, pursue, like, yes, to continue to annoy, afflict, and trouble. That should be your enemies, not your friends. So, like we've done in the past few years, we have an acronym for you. Pursue. The P in pursue is for purpose. Is for purpose.
One of the first keys in pursuing something is knowing and purposing, what am I supposed to be pursuing? What am I supposed to be pursuing? So many people get caught back on their heels, and they get to chasing so many things, but they're so busy chasing so many things that what the Lord has purposed for them to pursue, it continues to escape them. Because I'm chasing this, and I'm chasing that, and I'm chasing this. So many people get caught just chasing losses, that they're never really in that place where they're pursuing after godly gain. I know exactly what I'm going for. I'm pursuing after what God has for me. I'm just chasing my losses. Or we get caught chasing lesser things. It's not necessarily that they're even wrong things. They're just lesser things than the eternal things that God wants us to purpose in our heart and to pursue after. Sometimes we just get caught living reactively. I'm just reacting every day. I'm just chasing the most urgent thing today. I'm just chasing the biggest fire that's in front of me today, rather than proactively pursuing on purpose what God says for me to pursue today. And so we have to know, we have to have a purpose. What am I purposely pursuing this year? What am I purposely pursuing today? So I don't just get caught chasing losses, chasing ridiculous things that are of no eternal value, that just steal my energy, steal my time, steal my faith, steal my hope, away from the eternal pursuits that God has for me.
How many of you feel like sometimes you're a fireman, just running from one fire to the next fire to the next fire? All right, so how many of you would jump in your car at night, get on I-25, and close your eyes? I mean, seriously, how many of you would go driving at night with your eyes closed? I pray none of you, because here again is what God's word says about it. His word says, without vision, my people perish. Like driving down the highway with your eyes closed at 70 miles an hour, you will perish. or someone else will. But see, so often God has purposes for his people, and he's purposed these things for us, but we perish for a few different reasons. We perish for a few different reasons. So the purposes of God are lost. Now, I just want to say, first of all, if God has called you to do something and you didn't do it, God is not wringing his hands out in heaven going, "Oh no, what am I going to do now?" He's made provision if you're not obedient. But sometimes we miss the purposes of God because of ignorance. Now, ignorance. Some people think ignorance is a bad word. Ignorance is simply a lack of knowledge. I didn't know. Genuinely. That is what ignorance is. Now, ignorance can be fixed pretty simply by adding knowledge, right?
Amen.
Another thing that can steal is worldliness. Worldliness, the things of this world, pursuing the wrong things. Now, it's not pursuing wrong things, the wrong things. See, because they can be good things, they can be just not bad things, but things of this world. See, because God's word says that this world is passing away. And so, when you focus your attention and your vision and your purpose upon the things of this world, you're wasting energy. How many of you will go home and take and put a big heater in your garage and then leave your garage door open? I bet not many of you. And if you do, when public service calls, you will not be happy. But that's what worldliness is. Look, you're heating something, you're paying for something that you can't fill, that you can't take care of, and that has no value to you. Some people freeze to death in their house because they put the heater in the garage with the garage door open. You're still paying the bill, but you're not getting any return for it. The next is blindness. Blindness. Can't see things beyond where you are to see what God has purposed for you. I mean, sometimes this is like being in a jungle. If you've ever been in a jungle, I'm going to tell you what, you can't see very far. And so this is what happens. We get caught in this blindness. Well, I mean, my eyes are open. I got a visual for you. You're the person who doesn't scrape the snow and ice off your windshield, and you're driving down the road. My eyes are open. I can see. I know, I see you driving around. I'm like, oh my goodness. Waiting for the defroster to come on. 60 miles an hour. I could see. Yeah. And the headlights are covered. That's right. But see, you can't even see what God has purposed for you. You don't even know what's out ahead of you. So we have no vision. So in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 3 in the New King James, said, "Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord." Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. We need to know what the Bible says we are to pursue. Amen? Well, look, there's a million things to pursue, and we can spend all year chasing after things and not accomplish a thing.
Or we can purpose to pursue the things that we know is above all other things, which is the things that the Bible says that we are to pursue. And so we're going to talk about some of those things. But one of the first things that we really need to pursue after this year, if we're going to be in the year of pursuit, this is critical. You need to pursue after the voice of your shepherd.
Amen.
Not all the voices in this world.
Amen.
There are so many voices that are going to call out to you every hour of every day. Chase me, follow me, do me, attend to me, put your hands to me, put your heart to me, put your energy to me. There's a million and one voices. We have to tune in to the voice of the shepherd We're going to talk a little more about this maybe next Sunday, but so many people really struggle with this thought of hearing the voice of the shepherd. How do I know I'm hearing God's voice? John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. It's that simple. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow after me. You were made by the shepherd to hear his voice.
Amen.
You hear his voice, you follow after him. You don't have to look for big booming things. It says right here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow after me. So one of the first things, you know, fortunately God is so great in how he does things. And yes, last year was the year of promise, and most of you spent most of the year sitting in the presence of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now hopefully in doing that, you began to hear his voice more clearly than you ever have before. And you realized, I am his sheep. And you didn't give me ears to hear the cow's voice. You gave me ears to hear the shepherd's voice and to follow after you. So, but we're going to look at a few things specifically that the Word of God says that we are to pursue. And one of them Jerry just read, which is knowledge of the Lord. Right here. You want to know what to pursue? Start here. Say, Lord, speak to me. Right here. This is your Word. This is the living Word of God. I want to hear your voice. And I want to hear it right here. Knowledge is learned information. Lord, I want to learn. I want to know. My heart is open. My eyes are open. I don't just want to come and find your word to validate what I need to believe. I want to come and I want to believe your word.
Like so many people come and they take their Bible and they do this. Pastor, I have this friend who needs help. Show me a scripture for him. Okay. I have a little problem I need fixed. Can you show me one scripture that I could just, you know, like repeat 27 times and it'll fix it, right? That is not how God's word works. And knowledge of God is knowledge of all of him. The stuff that makes you go, oh. And the stuff that makes you go, ooh, yes, I'm a joint heir with Christ. That's pretty good. I like that. And he says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in me. Ooh. Do I love the world? I hope not. See, all of it, knowledge of all of it.
And here's just a little clue in seeking after knowledge of God of this year. If this is one of the things that you're going to pursue, do a couple of simple things. Get yourself a notebook. Take some notes. Your brain is just like everybody else's, and you're probably not going to remember what you read that morning. So write down, if you read an entire chapter, write down one thing that spoke to you, one thing that meant something to you. Put the date there, and just write down one little tiny thing. Mark up your Bible. Highlight. Write in it. If you have questions, find a mentor. Call somebody and say, you know what, I see that there is fruit in your life, that you understand the word. When I have questions, can I call you? Will you walk with me? Will you help me to understand? I really want to learn more about the word this year. Will you walk with me? That's how you get, how you pursue knowledge. It's not like, well, I'm just going to read my Bible more. Well, you've been reading your Bible. If you're going to pursue knowledge, then he who walks with the wise, Scripture says, grows wise.
So find some wise people and walk with them.
Yeah.
Amen. And don't just walk, talk.
Come on.
Listen.
Ask questions.
Meditate. Meditate. Here's what we think meditate means. That is not what the word meditate means. That word in Hebrew means to mutter, to utter, to speak. Meditate on my word daily. That means talk about it. Speak it to yourself. Don't just open it up and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. I open my Bible all the time. Whenever pastor says to go to a specific scripture, I open it. Then I close it and put it back on the shelf for the next rest of the week. All right. 6:11.
Turn forward in your Bibles if you're following along with us. Almost to the end of the New Testament. We're going to find some more things that the Bible says to pursue.
But you, man of God, are there any men of God in here?
Amen.
By the way, let me help you, ladies. This is not just for men. This is all of God's children.
Just put your woe in front of there, and then it's us too.
That's my silly joke. That's how Adam named Eve. He said, "Whoa, man. Dang." Sorry. I've told that cheesy joke for 20 years. But you, man of God and woman of God, flee from all of this and pursue, right? Now, if you have a question about what you're supposed to flee from, read before. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. You might want to write those things down. You might want to write those things down. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And then in 2 Timothy 2:22, Dalton is preaching with me. Feel free, Dalton, to preach. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." We've got an idea of things to pursue. Now, just a quick clue. Can you go back to the last scripture, honey? We will get there. There it is. "But you, man of God, do what?"
Flee.
What?
Flee.
What does it mean to flee?
That's right. I liked it.
Flee from all this. Again, read backwards. By the way, whenever you have a scripture, somebody gives you a scripture, you should read it in front of it and behind it. Don't just, I mean, seriously. People will take a little piece of scripture and go, "See? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's go and sin. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more." Woo! Let's go sin so we can have some grace. So you've got to read before and after so that you understand. Flee from all this. What is this? You must read. But I want you to get that. Flee. All right, go to 2:22. And remember what flee means. What's the first word of that?
Flee.
Flee. So the first key to pursue is what?
Flee.
Flee,
flee from the things that you're not supposed to be pursuing. Because when you're fleeing the things that want to pursue you, you then can pursue your enemy. See, when you're going the same direction as your enemy, when you're running towards hell, it's not real hard for the devil to get you there. People are like, "Well, before I was a Christian, it was so much easier." Yeah, because when you're running towards hell, he doesn't have to try to trip you up. He doesn't have to make you stumble. He doesn't have to throw that you're going where he wants you to. So when you get the word that says flee, turn, go the other direction, all of a sudden he's like, "Uh-oh, now I've got to try to stop him. Now I've got to try to get him back." Flee the evil desires of youth. That does not mean that all youth are evil. Here's what the evil desires of youth are. What do young people, starting with babies, want?
What I want. Mine.
What's the, you know, what's the favorite word of 16-month-olds?
Mine.
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 I love that. It's coming. Trust me, with twins, it's coming. Mine. Why? And this is what the evil desires of youth are. I want. I want.
self-satisfaction. I need to satisfy my current need. Whatever my current need may be, I need to feed my flesh. But it says that we are to pursue righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. You need to pursue after getting in right standing with God. It says we're supposed to pursue godliness. Godliness is the character and the manner and the ways of God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. We need to pursue the manners, the mannerisms, the ways this year. You need to take a look and study your Savior and how he walked and how he dealt with people and how he dealt with all kinds of people, people who loved him and people who hated him, people who told the truth about him and people who lied about him. You need to study the manner, and you need to develop and pursue after godliness, which is God-likeness. It says we need to pursue faith. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So those of you that have fallen into the rut of the grave and you've lost hopelessness, I guarantee you need to begin pursuing faith. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If faith is a substance of things hoped for and you have no faith, no hope, you have no faith either. And so you need to start by saying, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I need faith. Before I go anywhere else, I need some faith. It says we're to pursue love. There's a big one. That's a pursuit for the rest of your life.
Amen. Look. Love, if you don't know what love really is, God is love. God is love. Next, you need endurance. King James and New King James use a word that most people don't like. Patience.
How's that going, Brittany? I'm pursuing
patience. I want patience. I need it now. If you pray for patience, you'll have opportunity. See, look, I am one of those people who my pastor said, you should pray for patience. And I took him at his word, and I prayed for patience. And I cannot tell you how many opportunities he gave me. I used to drive from here to Stapleton when it was still the airport. And it would take me 2.5 hours. There would always be a wreck right in front of me. Right where you can't get off. There's no escape. I remember one time I went all the way around the Rocky Mountain Arsenal, and there was an accident on Highway 2. I said, Lord, help me. I am getting an opportunity to practice my patience or endurance. Amen? Next, we are called to pursue gentleness. Ruh-roh. All the men said, ruh-roh. Gentleness. Gentleness. Next, something we... This one's kind of a challenge. Because it's already been given to you. But you must pursue it. Peace. Because Jesus said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. So it's already ours. Why do we have to pursue it? Oh, Lord, because we don't hold on to it. Because we put peace in our back pocket and drive into chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
You need to pursue peace. Some of you really need to pursue. The Bible says that the peace of God is supposed to guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. I should be able to abide in my soul, in my heart, in my mind, in the peace of God. And I'm just going to tell you, you're going to have to learn how to pursue that. If you have lived a life of chaos, if you have lived a life of what I call messy bombs, you're wandering around, next thing you know, a world blows up and there's just a big mess everywhere, then you're going to have to learn how to pursue peace. I spent well over a year of my life just trying to learn how to pursue peace. when something blew up, when I went through an earthquake, how do I stand in peace though everything around me is coming undone at the seams? You're going to have to learn how to pursue it. And then it also says that we are to pursue other believers that are in the same pursuit, that call upon the Lord for these things. What does it say here? With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Some of you are going to have to possibly pursue different friendships this year.
Uh-oh.
Maybe you're going to have to look at your friendships and you go, you know what? If I want to really begin to pursue, gain, and attain the things that God has purposed for me to have, I'm going to have to pursue other believers that are in the same pursuit as I am. And they're in the same pursuit as I am with a pure heart. Not because they're trying to look good in front of other people, not because they're trying to show the world how great they are or build a ministry or do any of these things, but just because they love God and because they want to pursue after the heart of God and the things of God, just because they're a servant of God. Maybe you're going to have to pursue some of those people this year and get them around you.
You know, so many of us have those friendships out of convenience, out of whatever, and we hold on to them, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't. I see this all the time. People who are freshly married and all their friends are single. Not a good plan. People who want to become executives, who go to the bars and drink with all of the factory workers. Not to say that there's anything wrong. I've worked in factories and warehouses and those things. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want to change where you are, you really need to change the people that you're around. If you find yourself in that rut, you might have to add some people. Doesn't mean you just go, you can no longer be my friend. I don't like you anymore. I'm moving on. It simply means that you, you'll always be my friend, Glenn. I love you. But again, those friendships that are not healthy for you, you know the ones I'm talking about. You know that friend who's always like, hey, man, you want to come and, no. No. And they keep going, come on, you know you do. No. I know I don't. But then they are the one who will pursue you. And they'll pursue you. And sometimes you'll get weak and give in. All right. So here's the next thing that we're going to pursue. Your enemies. Joshua chapter 10, verse 19, out of the NIV. But don't stop. Pursue your enemies. Attack them from the rear and don't let them reach their cities. So the Lord your God has given them into your hand. Do you know why you don't want to let them get back to their cities? Because they'll get stronger. That's a stronghold. And they'll hole up and they will hang on. And then you'll never get them. When God brings them into your hand, when the enemies that have come against you, your family, your finances, your jobs, when God brings them out there in front of you, don't stop. I mean, until the last bit of it is gone. So many people go, whew, well, that was a lot of work. I'm going to stop now. Read about the children of Israel. They did this. They got tired. They went, there's a lot of them. And it leaked in later. That leaked in later. You must destroy completely your enemies.
And you notice that God tells us we're supposed to attack them from the rear. You know why that is? Two reasons. First of all, when you attack somebody from the rear, they don't see you coming. So he shouldn't see you coming. And the second thing is, when you chase him from behind, then he's not chasing you. And it's about time we started chasing our enemies instead of running from them.
And you know why our enemies run? Because of our God.
That's right.
See,
that's right.
So look, I mean, this is the truth. You might scare a few people, but the enemies who are really out to kill you, they're not afraid of you. They are afraid of your God.
That's right.
And when they flee, it's because it's not, you know, some of you are like, yeah, they're fleeing in front of me.
Jesus is standing behind you going, okay. That makes you feel better. Just going to say, it was you. Never mind.
Okay. Turn to Romans. Back to the New Testament. Romans 14, 19 in the New King James. A couple of more things we need to pursue. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Amen. A couple more things we need to pursue. Things that make for peace. Be on purpose to think about the things that you do. Am I making war or am I trying to make peace? Do and pursue things that make for peace in my workplace, with my friends, within my family, whatever it may be. Stop long enough and say, I need to begin to pursue. Scripture says we are called ambassadors of reconciliation, that our feet are to be shod with the gospel of peace, not running into wars. If you're supposed to go to war with your enemies, then God will tell you that, but we shouldn't be just creating wars everywhere we go. It also says that we are to pursue things which edify others. I recently told somebody, I said, every time you walk through the doors of the church, I want you to get out a piece of paper and write somebody a note and edify them. Just tell them how you feel in your heart about them. Begin to be purposeful and pursue things, not just that edify you, not just make you feel safe and you feel comfortable and you feel strong and you feel good about yourself, but look outside of you and say, I'm going to pursue that which will edify Julia and Leona and Glenn and Tabitha and whoever else it is. I'm going to pursue things that edify others.
Everybody know what edify means? To build up. Just means to build up. That which adds to you, which makes you stronger, which makes you... So, Glenn, you sure look great in a tie.
Thank you.
I mean, it's that simple. That's edifying. That is simply edifying. Adding to someone, building them up. Peace. 1 Peter 3:11 in the New King James says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Once again, flee. Right? Flee evil. Do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Turn away from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Then in the book of Hebrews, it says, chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace with how many people?
All
people. Let me give you a little quick Greek lesson. That word in Greek, all, means all.
Everybody.
Lacking nothing, all. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, which means you don't just go, fine, I just won't be at war with them. I don't care. Holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We talked about that a little earlier, how to see the Lord. So we have to have peace with all people and holiness in that pursuit of peace, right? Mm-hmm. Holiness. Questions about holiness? Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Which means walk away from evil.
When you go back and you look, if you've been taking notes at these things, one of the things you realize, none of these things, or at least I'll just speak for myself, I will say none of these things was I born with. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, peace. Other believers with a pure heart in the same pursuit that I'm in. Pursuing my enemies, things which make peace and edify others, having peace with all people and holiness. These are all things that I have to pursue every day. These are not just things I wake up and just they're right there. And that's why Scripture says we need to pursue, we need to pursue, we need to pursue. And if you go back and you count these things, you'll see That there's about 15 things there, and if you take all of the piece ones and you put them all together, you group them together, you've got about 12 things here that we need to pursue, one for every month of the year.
Come on.
So be on purpose. Pick one a month. We're not going to tell you which one to pick. You pick. Listen to the voice of your shepherd. Say, Lord, it's January. What do you want me to pursue this month? You want me to pursue gentleness? Maybe you want me to pursue edifying others. Maybe you want me to pursue endurance. What is it you? Not what do I want to pursue? What do I think I should do? What do I think is best for me? But Lord, your word says that I am your sheep and I can hear your voice. So I'm going to look at this list right now and I want you to tell me, what do you want me to pursue the rest of this month? On purpose. And then be on purpose to pursue. Be on purpose to, let's say you're going to pick gentleness. I'm going to follow closely after. I'm going to attend to things. What was one of the definitions? Put the definition back up there, sweetheart, of pursue. Let's say you're going to do gentleness. I'm going to attend to things with gentleness. That'll change the way some people do a lot of things. Some people do everything with a hammer, even washing their hair. They're the people that half their hair falls out because it's like, okay, relax. It's just hair. But look at that one thing and go, well, you know what? Maybe it's peace. I'm going to practice peace. It says one of the definitions is to carry on, to continue, to practice. I'm going to practice peace right now. Boy, I feel war from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. God, help me to practice peace right now. Man, I am tapping my foot so hard I'm wearing a hole in my carpet. Lord, help me stop and practice peace right now.
To continue to annoy, afflict, or trouble. Here's one. I'll give you that. To continue to annoy, afflict, or trouble. Love. I am going to pursue love. I'm going to afflict it. I'm going to annoy it. I'm going to trouble it. I'm going to make sure that it is pure. I'm going to shake it until all the human imperfection falls off of it. See, look, we think, oh, well, look, Valentine's Day is coming up, and people are like, I love you. Unfortunately, we only have one word for love in English, love. There are many more descriptive words of what it actually is. The Greek has several. And we need to understand that this love that we're looking to pursue is agape love, which is the perfect love of God.
Amen.
Which means we got to shake that tree and get all of our kites and toys and plastic bags that have blown over it, shake it off there, because what we want is the fruit of genuine, true, pure love. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to trouble it, annoy it, afflict it until it becomes perfected.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you say, well, I'm going to pursue peace with all people, and I'm going to pursue that. Or I'm going to pursue edifying others. Then do it by continuing to discuss it. I'm not going to say one negative thing about one person for the rest of this month. No, I don't care what they do to me. I don't care what they say about me. If I'm going to pursue peace with all people, then I'm going to talk people up all day long. And if I don't have anything nice to say, I'm not going to say anything at all. But it says here to pursue something is to continue to discuss. That means I need to talk about how good people are all day long.
Here's one of the reasons why people don't continue to discuss. How many people have tried to quit something or change a habit or something, and you tell people, and then they see you? I thought you were trying to quit ice cream. Right? Isn't that your third ice cream I've seen you with today? I don't know. I mean, look, you're like, I was trying to quit cussing. What did you just say? Oh, my. Now, look, why do people stop discussing it? because they don't want other people to hold you accountable. I'm just going to say. So look, I'm going to pursue that. I'm pursuing patience. Fine. And then you got to tell people still, so that when you're in the 15 items or less and the coupon lady gets in front of you and she goes, I know I have 37 items and I only have 37 coupons. Will this coupon work? It's from 1978. You say, I'm pursuing endurance, Lord. Bless me, Father, lest I sin. But you've got to tell people why, because it will keep you accountable too. Because again, the reason we don't tell people, I can't tell you how many people, I'm not going to tell anybody I'm quitting smoking. Because I get tired of people going, aren't you quitting smoking? You smell like a Marlboro. Oh, old jacket. See, look, I mean, right? How come you're at a bar? I thought you were quitting drinking. I'm just here with a friend. That's water. Because we don't want accountability. Make yourself accountable. Talk about it. Oh, Lord, I'm practicing patience. I'm pursuing it, and I need your help. I am pursuing edifying others. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be talking more in the coming weeks about hearing the voice of the shepherd also. Do you know your sheep? And my sheep hear my voice. And the good shepherd takes you to green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. This is good stuff. We want to hear his voice. As we're pursuing these things, he will lead you. He will speak to you as you're pursuing peace, as you're pursuing edifying others. You'll hear the voice of the shepherd. We're gonna be listening for his voice. But you got a purpose in your heart to be purposeful this year as we pursue.
Come on.
Not just haphazard. So many people just go, at the end of the year, you're going to go, oh yeah, I was pursuing something. I don't really remember what it was, but I know I headed that way somehow. We need to have an itinerary. You know what an itinerary is? A plan. A purpose. This is the direction that I am going. If I want to go to New York, I do not go west. Because west is a really long way to get to New York. You can get there, but it's a really long way.
One of the big differences between being pursued and being the pursuer is when we're being pursued, we're in survival mode. I'm just trying to survive. But when you're the pursuer, you're in gathering mode. And some of you haven't had any time to gather anything because you've just been surviving. But now you're the pursuer. And now you're going to be pursuing and gathering and gathering and gathering. So you need to get your hands free of everything that they shouldn't be full of. Because as you're pursuing, you're now going to be gathering. And we're going to purposely pursue the kingdom of God, and we're going to be gatherers. We're going to pursue the things of God, and we're going to be gatherers. We're going to pursue the restoration of God, and we're going to take back what was taken from us. And we're going to pursue the enemies of God, and we're going to gather them up. We're going to put them under our feet so that they can't go after us anymore, and they can't go after our children and our friends and our family and steal from the kingdom of God and the people that we love anymore.
Remember, when you're choosing your enemies, it is not your enemies. They are the enemies of God.
That's right.
Some people get that mistaken. Well, but my neighbor's mean and yells at me. Are you sure he's an enemy of God? Or is it just an enemy of your flesh? Might be a tool from God.
Turn to Isaiah.
Isaiah 46, verse 11. Isaiah 46, verse 11. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do.
So if you're in your Bible, where it says, from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose, would you write your name in there?
Are you going to be that person? A man to fulfill my purpose? Will you seek to fulfill the purpose of the Lord? Will you pursue to fulfill the purpose of the Lord? Remember, what you're going to need first is knowledge of what his purposes are. Because he says, what I have said, that I will bring about. Like I said, if you miss it, don't think God is in heaven going, oh, darn it.
Mm-hmm.
Nate won't do that. Now I don't know what I'm going to do. He says, all right, Nate missed that. He was not listening to my voice. Glenn will do it. And if Glenn won't listen to my voice, Kyle will do it. And if Kyle won't listen to my voice, Robert will do it. And if Robert won't listen to my voice, this Glenn will do it. Because look, God has more. He says, what I have said, that I'll bring about.
Amen.
What I have planned, that will I do.
That's right.
We have the choice to be that man who will fulfill the purpose, or to be the one standing there going, oh, God told me to do that. Oh. I mean, really. I love that story, Reinhard Bonnke. He God told him to bring the Jesus film to everybody in the world. I want you to get a copy of the Jesus film to everybody in the world. And he was like, oh, Lord, whew, that you would choose me. And the Lord said, you are my first choice. And he went, oh, really? Yeah, you weren't my second choice either. As a matter of fact, you were quite a ways down on the list, but you're the first one who said yes. You know what? That moves me up to first choice. When you say yes, you become the first one on the list.
Amen.
All the other ones, they miss their shot. I'm number one. Amen?
Amen.
Remember one of my favorite quotes? Lee Iacocca, former chairman of Chrysler Corporation. Lead, follow, or get out of my way. Lead, follow, or get out of my way. Because we've got things to do. God says, I'm leading my sheep, and the sheep are supposed to be following. So we've got a leader. Now, God called many of us to be leaders. If you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're an older sibling, you're a leader. If you're not on an island all by yourself, you're a leader. If you are on an island all by yourself, you're the only leader. We've got to stay in line and purpose to follow the shepherd. I'm going to tell you what. The only quality that sheep really have, besides making really good lamb chops and sweaters, the only really quality that they have is they follow. They follow like crazy. You can take a ram, that's a male sheep, or a shepherd could call them literally off a cliff, and they would just go one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. Now, that's a good thing when you know the good shepherd.
Sure.
Because he's not going to lead you off a cliff unless there's a purpose on the other side. Amen?
Amen.
So as we follow, we're going to see his plans come to pass. Why? Because if we don't follow, you know what happens to the sheep who doesn't follow the shepherd? Finds himself sitting out in the middle of a field somewhere going, hey guys, where'd everybody go? Yeah. Ooh, dogs. Wolves. Hungry wolves. Right? Stay in line. Stay close. Listen for the shepherd's voice.
Follow closely. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will stand. Get right or get left. Get in line or get left behind. Isaiah 46:10, I will make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. We need to hear his voice, and we need to purpose in our heart to pursue in the direction that he is calling us to pursue in, whatever it may be. You've got a whole list of things. Yes, I can absolutely give you the list again. Righteousness, godliness, knowledge of the Lord, faith, love, peace, endurance or patience.
So many people are like, oh, I want endurance.
Long suffering.
Gentleness. Your enemies. Other believers that call on the Lord with a pure heart. Things which make for peace. Things which edify others. Peace with all people. Holiness. And every day you should be seeking the voice of your shepherd. You're welcome. Whoops. Amen. Everybody got them? All right. So your homework today is to ask the shepherd which one you need to pursue for the rest of the month. Amen? And then begin to pursue it.
Now, wait a minute. What's the shepherd's voice sound like? Does anybody not know what the shepherd's voice sound like? Seriously. Seriously, don't be ashamed. All right. If you don't know what the shepherd's voice sounds like, let's come up here after we're done, and I want to pray with you. Because I'm going to help you to hear the shepherd's voice. Lord Jesus, Father, we come before you. We come before you with hearts humble, Lord Jesus, and hungry. Hungry to pursue after these things, Lord God. Humble enough to flee from those things which pursue us. Lord God, we ask you that you would go before us and make our enemies flee in front of us, that we might pursue your enemies, Father. Destroy them utterly. And that, Lord Jesus, then we would pursue these things, righteousness, peace, gentleness. Lord, all of these things we will pursue with our whole heart. You'll give us courage and strength to maintain the battle, Lord. You said you'd even move the sun back in the heavens to give us more time to pursue our enemies. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask you that you would strengthen us today to be purposeful, to hear your voice and to follow after you, yes, in everything that you've called us to.
In your mighty and precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, stand up on your feet as we close in worship together.